and Patty Tate. Pastor Ray and Patty came here to Greenwich in 1983 and gave birth to Harvest Time Church, pastored our congregation for 15 years, and they left on our congregation the imprint. And everything we are today really is because of the love that they poured into our church. We had a great opportunity, my wife and I, to come from seminary and to work with Pastor Ray and Patty for about 2 years. You know, there are things that we are taught, and then there are things that are caught. And Harvest Time is what it is today because of the things that we caught from our spiritual father and mother. They have just embarked on a brand new adventure. They are starting a new chapter and a new page in the journey. And Pastor called me several weeks ago to tell me about what the Lord has led them into. And I said, Pastor, you have to come and share with the congregation what the Lord's called you to. I want you to stand up on your feet, and I want you to give you your best Harvest Time welcome for our founding pastor, Pastor Ray and Patty Tate.
Praise the Lord. Please remain standing, would you? You guys are quick, man. You just, whew. It's great to see you all today and to be together in the house of the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. While you're standing, we're going to give honor to the word of the Lord as we read. So many faces, people that we know and love dearly. How many of you were here when we were a part of the church, and when we made the transition over 10 years ago? How many of you were a part of the church then? Okay, beautiful. And it's great to see Brother and Sister Grant here today as well. Good to see you guys. And I want to talk to you this morning from the scriptures and then share a part of our testimony, what God is doing in our lives. But then I want to turn as quickly as I can, and I'm going to make this message about you and what God is doing in your life today. So in Hebrews chapter 11, would you look with me? I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If it's easier to just listen, that's fine. When I got here this morning, they asked me, do I have a PowerPoint? I said, yes, it's right here. And that's as progressive as I get. So Hebrews chapter 11, I'm beginning to read at verse number 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land that God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Verse 10. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Verse 11. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. Verse 12. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. How's that for an encouraging word? Let's pray. In these moments that we share together, Lord, I pray that something divine and supernatural will happen here today. We've sensed your presence, Lord, as we worship you, and we've worshiped you in bringing tithes and offerings back to you. But now, Lord, we stand in need of a word from you, and I pray that you would anoint my lips today and the ears of each hearer. Let this be a seed that comes from the living word of God to produce life and change for your kingdom's sake in each one of us. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now don't sit down yet. See, some of you were halfway there. I stopped you already. Before you sit down, turn to the person next to you and say simply something like this. You look much better now than when you first came in this place. And then you can be seated. I'm going to ask my wife, Patty, just to stand so that people can see you. This is my better half, Patty. We celebrate this summer our 30th year in full-time ministry, and we are so grateful for the Lord's hand of blessing and direction in our lives over the years. We started in 1979 in a church in North Jersey called Bethany Church. We were called there to serve as associate pastors, and our focus of ministry was youth ministry and worship. And so we directed, built a youth group. There were 7 kids there when we were called to come. It was a step of faith on their part. The Lord grew a very active and alive youth ministry during our 4 years there. I was also the choir director and the worship leader. Now, I would never advise you to do that when you can't read music. But God helped our endeavors. And so after 4 years there, we sensed His hand on us to lead us to another chapter of ministry. And the Lord directed us to become church planters in a town called Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, I went to high school in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and I had, to be honest, really not heard of or had not known much about the town of Greenwich. And so I was thinking, after 4 years of ministry in Bergen County, New Jersey, my prayer was that the Lord would take me to the inner city and where I felt more at home to pastor. And so we were up in southern New England district offices to be interviewed. And I had sent a resume to southern New England, and so they called us up. And I said, yeah, I feel God's calling me to be a senior pastor or to plant a church or something. And he said, he mentioned about 5 or 7 churches looking for a pastor. And we just looked at each other and nothing much, you know. So then he sat back and he said, you know, we've been wanting to start a church in a town called Greenwich. It's our southernmost town in all of southern New England, just outside of New York City. And he said, we're wanting to start a church there. And I said to him, well, what's it like? Where is it? And these were his words. This is a quote of many years ago. He said, well, it's just outside of the Bronx. Really? Yes. And there have been about 5 or 7 people, and some even said, we'll do it. And then they go home and call us back and no. And I said, we will definitely pray about this. And he said, well, why don't you just stop by on your way home? And he gave us directions. So we got off of 95 and pulled into town on the post road. And as I'm driving around, I'm looking and I'm thinking to myself, he gave me the wrong directions. And so Patty says, hey, there's a little diner. Let's stop in and have coffee. So I'm just sitting there. I'm kind of honestly aggravated because I'm saying to myself, it's not that close to the Bronx. So we're having coffee, and this is my wife, Patty. She takes a sip of coffee, puts the cup down, and she says, this is the place. I said, do not say that. How many, you know, Brother Grant, they don't listen. She said, this is the place. I said, please, I need time to pray. So we went back to Jersey, and for a week I was wrestling with the Lord. I said, Lord, it's a beautiful place, but it's not really what I'm asking you to lead us to, you know. And the Lord just really didn't seem to listen. And He affirmed His call for us to come here. So the rest was history. We came. We held our first service in the basement of the YMCA in town. And this was in December of 1983. And 15 years later, the Lord had blessed and grown the church. We were then meeting for 14 and a half years. We met in the Civic Center and set up chairs. Some of you we were there early in the morning setting chairs up and sound systems and all for many, many years. But God put His favor upon this church plant. And The Lord, in the beginning of that, before we even came, He gave us the name of the church from John 4:35, and He also planted in my heart the idea that He was going to grow this church to become a church of 1,000 members strong, that there would be always people coming to know Christ as Savior, being discipled, and then sent out in ministry, and the Lord has certainly done it. By the way, congratulations. I heard about the town's approval for the building of a sanctuary for how many? For 1,000 people. And so the Lord has been so good. Well, He began, I remember coming to sit on this property before there was anything here but cornfields and so forth. And I would sit here and say, God, if you don't give me vision for this next chapter, I know that I'm just going to get in the way rather than being of help. And the Lord made it clear that our work as your lead pastor was to plant this church and build a foundation, and He was calling us. So I announced that I was going to go and get my master's degree. You shouldn't laugh all that hard when I say things like that. And I was sincere. I was really going to do that, but the Lord had another plan, and we were days away from going into a town called Spring Lake, New Jersey, to plant a church there. It's a very similar community to this along the Jersey coast. And just 2 days before being introduced to the pastors in that region, the Lord spoke to us at a district council and said that He wanted us to go to a 75-year-old church that needed revitalization, and He would show us His will through the vote of the people. He used this phrase, I'll never forget. The Holy Spirit said, push the pause button on the Spring Lake region, and I'll show you my will. Well, the rest is history. We went to Kingsway, we spoke, they voted us in, and we've been there for 10 years. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. Well, now we fast forward the tape, and I have a missionary coming to our church 2 years ago. Her name is Sister Teresa Greenbaugh. Some of you may know her. She's a tremendous missionary ministering to the children of India, she and her husband. She came into my office at Kingsway Church, and she said to me, Pastor, and she handed me this little elephant with the broken trunk. And she said to me, that's a little inside joke, I won't get into it, but she handed me this elephant, and she says to me, Pastor, your church is pregnant. You know, what do you say to that? I don't know how to respond to that, but I said, well, thank you very much, and put it on.
Thank you.
And I put it on my desk, and I just kept it there. You know, you get a lot of gifts and little trinkets from people, but it was so intriguing to me. I just left it sitting on my desk in my office. My grandkids loved it because here's a hand-carved elephant out of a piece of wood, but inside is a baby elephant in the stomach. I don't know how they did this. It's kind of cool. So I put it on my desk and kind of forgot about it, and except for the intrigue of the children, and time goes on. We're then here invited to come to the 25th anniversary last October to join you guys in celebration. And so while we were here that weekend, the Lord really began to speak to Patty's and my heart about who we are and what He's called us to do. Denise, I don't know, Pastor Glenn's wife, Denise, I don't know if you realize how significant that word that you spoke to Patty that night was, but the Lord used that word. She said the Lord had given her a vision of Patty and me, just a clump of deep green, thick grass and fertile soil, and just said, you know, the Lord said, that's who Ray and Patty are. Just go in and prepare the soil. So we took that word and hid it in our hearts and began to pray about what God would have. Well, sure enough, we knew that He was changing our hearts. And you know, one of the great joys for me and what God has done here is that you guys are now in your 26th year, and the church has only had two pastors, lead pastors, in that time. That's such a healthy thing. And I pray and trust that Pastor Glenn and Denise will continue to lead the charge for many, many years to come as God continues to bless your work here. So we came and left and went home, and you know, it was a great joy because we saw that after we left, the church continued to grow and was healthy and strong and multiplying. You see, the kingdom of God is not about you or me. It's the body of Christ. Together, we each do our part and contribute to see the strength of his body. So I went and made an appointment to meet with my district pastor in New Jersey to tell him that God was stirring in my heart. So here's what I told him. I said, Brother Coletti, I believe that the Lord is telling us that our ministry at Kingsway is coming to an end. I believe that the Lord has raised up my associate pastor, Pastor Brian White, to take charge after me. Now, you know, in our type of church government, it wasn't my decision, just like here. But the same thing that I shared with the board here and the congregation about Pastor Glenn, I shared with them about my associate pastor, Pastor Brian. And I'm happy to say April 26th was my last Sunday. May 3rd, the following Sunday, the congregation voted Pastor Brian White to become the lead pastor. I had mentored him for 9 years. He's my son-in-law. And so Lindsay and Pastor Brian together are now taking charge there. So God is faithful to build his church and for the strength and health of the body. So I told him, I said, Brother Coletti, I believe that I'm supposed to now go and get my master's degree. The Lord is my witness, you know. And here's what he said. He sits back and he goes, well, Ray, let me just tell you. If that's really God, then go for it. But I know a lot of people sitting around with master's degrees hanging on their wall. They still don't know the call and purpose of God in their life. Just make sure it's the Lord. So we left. I was hoping he'd be encouraged. Somebody help me get this master's degree. So I go home and we pray about it and I make another appointment and go and meet him. And I come like this. I said, Brother, I'm here with open hands this time. I said, if there's any church along the Jersey coast that is seeking a pastor that's needing, he mentioned like two or three places. But then he said, you know, I think there's a little church struggling, 55 years old church in Point Pleasant. As soon as he said that, my wife, who is sitting quietly next to me, says, if that church is open, we'll go. Don't say that. So we went and spoke there. Now, let me give you a little picture of the fellowship. It's 55 years old. It's a little white New England-looking chapel that seats 150 people max. And it has 17 members, and two of them are in a nursing home. And so you guys really laugh at the wrong times. I've noticed that. So I had a few minutes alone in the sanctuary there, and I went and I'm sitting alone in this little sanctuary, and I'm feeling like, you ever have the struggle between spirit and flesh? How many of you know what I'm talking about a little bit? My spirit is just seeing nothing but potential. It's like, oh Lord, what, you know, but my flesh is going, run while you can, go. And here's really what I said to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I don't know anybody here. I don't sense anything in this place. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart just as clearly as I'm talking to you. And here's what he said to me. He said, Ray, wait till the first time that you sense my presence in this place. So to make the long story short, I called our district superintendent that week and I said, we'll go. We'll go. So we have made a commitment to start a new chapter of our lives. 2 weeks from today will be our first Sunday as the pastor at the church is currently called First Assembly of God. I say currently, I don't know how long that name will remain, but it's called First Assembly of God in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. I want you guys to write on your personal prayer lists the names Ray and Patty Tate, and I want you to add us to your prayer list. You see, when we told this story to my father-in-law, here's what he said. aren't you guys getting a little old for this? So that's kind of my alternate message title today. Aren't you getting a little old for this? And now's where I'm shifting gears, and I want to move the focus of this message from us to every one of you in the sound of my voice this morning. I want you to keep, you're in Hebrews 11. I just quickly want you to look at a few things before I take you to several other passages. Hebrews 11, look at verse 6. It says, it is impossible to please God without faith. So if you mark your Bibles, please make sure you underscore those words. You may work as hard as you can try and please the Lord, but I'm here to tell you today, it is impossible to please God without faith. Well, you say, well, great, but what's faith? Okay. Now I want you to look at me. Unless you have the New Living Translation, don't look at your Bibles. You can read it later in whatever translation you've brought. But I want to give you a definition from the Scriptures for faith, and I'm reading the New Living Translation. Here it goes. Listen to this. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. I'll read it again. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. I want to talk to you for a few moments now about what I'm calling the progression of faith. First is the challenge of faith. If you're going to make a decision today to live by faith, I want you to know you will be challenged. Turn back with me to Ezra, just before the book of Nehemiah. Ezra, chapter 3. And beginning to read in Ezra 3, verse 11. With praise and thanks, they sang this song to the Lord. He is so good. His faithful love for Israel endures forever. Then all the people gave a great shout, praising the Lord because the foundation of the Lord's temple had been laid. Now that's kind of like this morning's worship time. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Praising the Lord. The instruments and the singing and the sister who was up here doing sign language. I don't know. What is your name? What is it? Allison, I wish I could do that. I mean, this girl is so expressive. I'm like, you come up and preach my sermon, sister. That was awesome. How do you live with that at home? You know, you get tired watching. It was great. And the presence of the Lord was here, and we're just rejoicing, and that's what was happening in this text. But I want you to see something. The next verse, it says, but, verse 12, but, whenever you read that word in the Scriptures, get ready because something's about to happen or transition. In the middle, you see, it was through the sin and rebellion of the nation of Israel that they were led into captivity. And during this time of captivity, the first temple was destroyed. And now the people in captivity begin to cry out to God, forgive us, free us from this bondage, we will live for you. The Lord answers their prayers, they're brought free, and now God puts, and if you can just make note of this if you're taking notes, in the first chapter of Ezra, in verse 5, it tells us that he began to put a burden in the hearts of the priests, the Levites, and the leaders to rebuild the temple. Now, although you're not rebuilding your sanctuary, you are building the sanctuary for the first time. But you know, when I meet you guys in this room, this is a new place for me. But many of you came into this fellowship right here. When I drive out of town today and I go by the Civic Center, my heart gets very warm and sentimental because I remember what God did in that place. But we need to be careful that we don't find ourselves getting sentimental about kingdom stuff. God is not sentimental. He's current. God doesn't give you manna today so that you can eat it on Friday. It's going to be stink, bad. It's not good. Why? Because we need fresh manna. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. Beginning of the whole scripture, we find the Spirit of the Lord hovering over the face of the earth, moving. And so, look what happened in verse 12. It says, but many of the older priests, Levites, and other leaders who had seen the first temple wept aloud when they saw the new temple's foundation. These were not happy tears. You know why they were weeping? They were sentimental. They said, oh, this new place is not like the old place. I don't think that God's, I don't know. But at the same time, it said the others, however, were shouting for joy. Look at curious verse 13. It says, the joyful shouting and weeping mingled together in a loud noise that could be heard far in the distance. The challenge of faith, there will always be the element of bittersweet when you choose to walk and live by faith. It's going to be bittersweet. Expect it. It's going to happen. Now, turn to Mark chapter 10. I want to talk with you for a moment about the cost of a life of faith. If you're going to choose to live by faith, I want you to know it's going to cost you everything that you have. Our church in Cherry Hill, Kingsway, is in the middle of reading through the Bible over the course of 2 years. We have a Bible reading chart. Every 3 months, we give a new bookmark that has verses, Old Testament, New Testament to read. My last Sunday at Kingsway was April the 26th. To my amazement, these New Testament verses were a part of the reading for that very day. I want you to see this with that in mind. Mark chapter 10, beginning verse 27, it says, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Will you say that with me? You know, I see you guys keep looking over here. I'm using the New Living Translation. You don't have it? She has it. Do me a favor, guys. Don't put the scriptures up unless it's New Living. I don't want to, because I'm saying it and then I see you go. I want you to say it this way. Everything is possible with God. I'm telling you, I just sense such an anointing right now. Now I want you to say this with your life in perspective and say it now with faith. Everything is possible. Now, when I finish, it's your turn. If you need to shout it, if you need to, whatever, you can say, when I'm really anointed, I whisper. Then you whisper. But from what is within your spirit, I want you to say it. Now, for real, everything is possible with God.
Everything is possible with God.
Amen. Amen. Everything is possible. And then it says, Peter began to speak up. He said, we've given up everything to follow you. In verse 29, Jesus replied. He said, I assure you, everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my name's sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property along with persecution. He was doing so good. He was on a roll. And then he throws in that persecution thing. It's almost like, you know, they're going, yes, pray. What did he just say? It's all a part of this journey. The blessing. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. You see, for Patty and me, I'm 53 years old. My father-in-law, aren't you getting a little old for this? But beyond the church is around 500 people. The Lord's done a wonderful thing. The very day that I announced my resignation, that morning, we added 32 members into the church that day. And then I told them, I'm leaving. But beyond all of that, there was an additional cost for Patty and me, because all three of our children attend King's Way and will continue to attend King's Way. And my two grandchildren are at King's Way. And my father and my mother are at King's Way. And my grandmother, 96 years old, is attending King's Way. So what am I doing? I'm leaving! How many of you know? I mean, I'm joking, I'm lighthearted, but I want you to know I have wept buckets of tears over this decision. It's been one of the single most difficult decisions of my life. Because those of you who were with us during those 15 years know that under Jesus only is my love for family and my blessing and my wife and children and so on. So the day, my last Sunday there, God gave these verses to us. I want you to know there are times when you just wrap yourself around the Word of God. You just hold on for dear life. And you say, not my will, but thy will. The cost of faith. But finally, I want to show you the conclusion of faith. Turn back with me to Job chapter 14. You're like, oh, this is not going to be good. Job chapter 14. Oh, it's going to be very good. And I'm reading these verses from the New King James Version. It says this: For there is hope for a tree. And I've written in my notes, there is hope for a person, there is hope for a church, there is hope for a marriage, there's hope for a child, there's hope for a job, there's hope for a sickness. There is hope, it says, for a tree, that if it is cut down — how many of you have ever been cut down in your life? You know what I'm talking about. Could be a word spoken out of season. It could have been something that you saw with your eyes that you wish you had never seen. It could be something that the enemy has tried to destroy your life over. But I have good news for you today. There is hope for those things that have been cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet — woo, hallelujah — no matter what, listen to these words: at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. The New Living says, and sprout again like a new seedling. Oh, praise the Lord. Whenever you read of water in the Bible, it is a picture, it is a type of the precious Holy Spirit. Have you ever gotten the scent of an ocean breeze? If you're like me, when you catch it, you just kind of... Or the smell of a lake in the summertime that just kind of hits your nostrils, and it's so beautiful and sweet and refreshing. Even a summer rain, there's just that smell. Here's what the Lord is saying. Abraham was as good as dead. But check it out. He caught a scent of water. I was about 20 years old, and I've always been a happy person. I love to laugh. I love life. I love music. I love to dance, ballet. I won't show you. It's beautiful, though. But when I was about 20 years old, I was hit with a wall of depression that lasted about 6 months. If it had happened to me today, I'm sure I would have been hospitalized, medicated, and psychoanalyzed, and rightfully so. But I'll never forget having to go back. My dad, I was about 3 days into this thing, and my parents were heartbroken. They didn't know what to do. But he said to me, Ray, he said, I was married at the time, and our daughter Lindsay had just been born. He said, Ray, if you don't go back to work tomorrow, he said, you're going to have to go get some kind of help. This is very serious. So I picked myself up and went to work. I was driving for an oil company. And over the next 6 months, I had 3 accidents. Thank God, not major, but fender benders. My boss came and told me, said, Ray, if you have one more accident, we're going to have to fire you. We can't, with insurance, we can't cover you. I left the office that day and hit a car at a stop sign not 2 miles from work. The guy got out, came swearing at me, and I just kind of fell, not on the ground, but just kind of came down out of that truck. And he looked at my face, and I was crying, and he's like, I said, sir, if you report this, I have a new baby, I'm married, this is the 4th accident I've had in 6 months, I lose my job. He says, ah, he got in his car and drove away. Thank God, it was mercy on me. I couldn't help myself. I was as good as dead. But it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, one night as I was working for this oil company, I was sitting in a shed, and they were just bringing stuff round the clock. There was a product that was a byproduct of the electrical system. And I was sitting in this shed, 3 in the morning, had not sensed the presence of the Lord in over 6 months. All I could do was read the Bible. I couldn't even pray. But in that shed, that night, it was the first time in over 6 months. I was just reading, felt nothing, don't even know where I was reading in the Bible, but as clearly as I'm talking to you today, it happened. The scent of water. I sensed His presence for the first time in 6 months. And I'm here, God is my witness, to tell you that one scent of water saved my life. I was as good as dead. And that's what gave me the strength to follow God's will into ministry. Sometimes the worst day is the best day. So I don't know where you're at in your life right now. I have no idea. You may be standing on top of the mountain. You say, well, I can't relate to that. Everything's going great. And wherever you're at, top of the mountain, bottom of the mountain, middle of the mountain, here's what it's all about, guys. Whatever you find yourself in today, it can change in a moment, good, bad, in between. What we need is the scent of water, the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Here's the question. Are you going to live your life in your own strength, with your own ideas, trying to be clever, trying to get ahead, trying to climb the ladder? Or are you going to live your life as a man and a woman of God, saying, I'm going to live by faith? I challenge you today. I am in your face today. Become a woman, a man, a young person, a child of faith. Because when we live by faith, everything is possible with God. Do you, we only have time. I want to give you a chance to respond to this simple message today. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is this. Number one, do not respond to this call because someone on the right or the left of you did. This is very important. God will honor your response today. I know that. 3 months before all of this happened and we resigned and are moving on, 3 months before that, I preached a message one Sunday morning, and here was the title, I Want to Be a Yes Man. So be careful when you respond. Be careful. But here's my question to you today. If you are willing to present your life, and by that I mean all the stuff that God has blessed you with, all the relationships, all the security, all that you are, if you're willing to say, God, I present my life to you today as a person of faith, I want to live by faith more than I have to this moment in my life. If that's your response to this message today, I want to ask you to just stand to your feet right now. Wherever you are, just stand right up. Here's the posture that I'm going to ask you to have. I want you to just take both of your hands, open them wide, and just hold them up before the Lord right now. I want to pray. Join me as we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the sweet, precious name of Jesus, I lift this congregation before your throne of grace today. You see us, Lord, with open hands. What do we have to give you? Nothing, but we present ourselves to you today. And Lord, I pray that from front to back, side to side, I pray that today, right now, the scent of water will come and descend upon your people in the name of Jesus. For everything is possible with God. So Lord, where there have been brokenness, broken relationships, weariness, fear, I speak today against anxiety in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will do such a marvelous thing in every life that is standing to present themselves today. Use us, Lord. Life is too short. We don't want to do this in our own strength. But Lord, we want the scent of water. We want the anointing of your Spirit to refresh us day by day. I pray for very clear direction in response to this presentation today. Holy Spirit, show us. Show us. I stir up the gift that is in you, sir, ma'am, by the Holy Spirit today. Stir it up, Lord. Resurrect it, Lord. Words that have been spoken to us in years past, life has just done us in. We forgot. Bring it back. Raise us up a mighty army of men and women who humbly, humbly follow after God. Fearlessly. Because everything is possible with God. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Now, before you're seated, just find someone near you and say just a simple thing. The Lord bless and use you. And then you can be seated. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated for just one moment. Pastor Dan, help us out. Jesus, my shepherd, my saving grace.